Maybe you'd rather be here in jail. We're on the same page then, amen? My church is praying for you tonight. We normally have service. I preach there at the Cross Church in Fort Wayne. I've been there 30 years. I started that church. But when they found out we were coming down here, it's not on, fix that thing. When they found out we were coming down here, they said, we're just going to go to prayer during the whole time. So that's good. God must have something planned. I kind of feel like that basketball coach that they didn't take this one and they didn't take that one. Let's get Greg Patton. I see where Thad Matta turned down the Georgia job. Now Tom Crean's looking at it, and if he gets turned down, they'll probably call me. I don't know. But anyway, I'm glad to be here tonight. God's really been good. It's interesting, when I met your pastor, and how many of you, this is your pastor? How many of there's probably some folks visiting tonight. You got a great pastor. I haven't been around him much. The day that we talked, I spent 2 hours talking on demons. I'm considered an expert, whatever that is, in demons. And he came up. I was talking with another pastor. He joined us, and we just kind of went through a number of things. And just in discussion, it's ironic that he would call. I just came from a meeting that was extended, just like yours is here, a revival meeting down in Roan Mountain, Tennessee, with all mountain people. I'm a northerner. I thought, I'm not going to fit in here well at all. God, you're going to have to really do something. Isn't it amazing how God works sometimes? I don't know how long you've been saved. You've been saved a while, or you're brand new, or you know what I'm talking about, but God's a miracle-working God. He can do things when you don't have any way to turn. In fact, it's best oftentimes if it happens that way. And so this guy called me, heard me on the radio. We're heard by thousands of people every day. We have a radio program that goes a half hour daily out of Tennessee, and it's on the internet, and we do news information, comment, we challenge people in every area under the sun. And God has really been good to build a multi-thousand person audience. And so this guy called me and he said, I think you need to come and help my church. I want you to speak on demons. And I said, wow, I don't know you. I don't know anything about you. I started calling some guys in that area. They didn't know much about this pastor. But to make a long story short, when the meeting was supposed to end, it didn't end. They decided it should go on. We were supposed to end on a Wednesday night. They wanted it to go on. If we had not had another meeting the next week, this was just 2 weeks ago, we would have probably still been there tonight preaching. God blessed. Every night, the church house filled up. They were out in the country and they were parking out in the fields. Again, you know when God's working in a special way. And regardless of who you are here tonight, if you're a Christian, God can use you. Do you understand that? Little is much when God is in it. He's just looking for somebody who is obedient and willing to serve in some area. You've got a real job here in Huntington, Indiana. I feel like I'm pretty close here. I grew up in Roanoke, Indiana, just down the road. For 21 years of my life, when I married my high school sweetheart, and we've been together 57 years. That just seems impossible. But it's been good. It's been real good. And but yeah, some areas, and you know, Pastor, I've been talking about a few things. Do you understand that greater is he that is in where? You than he that is in the world? Do you know that the Bible says that God's not given you a spirit of what? A spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's not really my message tonight. In fact, I'm not sure what my message is tonight. When you get called in the afternoon to come speak that night, you kind of go, duh, let's see here. What can we come up with? But God always has a message for his people, right, Scott? I mean, he does. I'm not here by accident. I am providentially here, I believe, all right, without question. God just seemed to say, go. Oh, by the way, I wanted to tell you, you know how long I preached every night down there in Tennessee? 2.5 hours every night. And for some reason, the people kept coming back. Isn't that good? It was probably all that free food and gift certificates we were giving them. No. I'm just simply saying this. When God's working, time does not matter. It just seems to go by. I don't care who it is. That's just the way it is. And if you've been close to God, in church, revival, wherever, you know that's true. You don't want it to end. When that Friday night came, they drug that thing on till 10:30 that night. They just didn't want it to end. Oh, you got to love that, people, when you see God working. Are there any 16-year-olds here tonight? I always try to find a teenager. Any teenagers here tonight? Are you all oldsters? Anyone close to 16? Anyone under 30? I'm willing to compromise. I tell Pastor, I usually try to find a 16-year-old because I was a heathen dog. I started my radio career right here in Huntington, Indiana, at a station called WHLT. And then went to WLYV in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and become one of the live guys for 6 years. And then went to Indianapolis, Indiana, and our station and this disc jockey became the most popular in all of America, WNAP. And I was riding high as one of the highest rated disc jockeys in America when a teenage kid invited me to church, a Baptist church. Now, I said, if I ever went to a church, guess what was last on my list? Those people are weird. They don't smoke usually. They don't chew. They don't go with girls who do. They're just weird people. And yet, there's a message here for all of you because you're trying to obviously continue to build a work. You should anyway, to get as many people saved as possible, get them involved in various things. I like that kid. I didn't necessarily like church or Baptist, but that kid was just really special. And I tell people, and this is an extra message. We haven't gotten to the message yet. You've got to get people to you somehow before you can get them to Christ. If I don't like you, do you think I'm going to go to your church? No. And so you need to be overly friendly. You need to learn some diplomacy in life, how to handle things and talk with people and do all the, because that's what you're supposed to do. And this kid was just that way, and I thought, yeah, I'll go with him. I told my wife, I said, we're gonna go to church. And I said, that's that little thing in town there, that little I-74 Baptist Church. And she said, you're kidding. I said, no. My wife's a former professional model. When I got saved, I had shoulder-length hair. Not that I'm against that, but that was just me at the time. Shoulder-length hair. I wore 10 rings on my hands. I drove a Corvette. My wife drove a Corvette. I mean, we were very much into the world. And that's how we came into that church that day. Very conservative Baptist church. How many of you remember, any of you guys old enough remember platform shoes? How many remember platform shoes? See, I'm 5'11", but during that entire 2-year period there, I was 6'1". Man, I just was moving around big time. And so we went into church like this. My wife, scantily clad, as she usually was, and we went in there. And again, here's another lesson. Those people did not look at us weird, and I would have. I just got to tell you. I mean, you know, it doesn't look like any of you here tonight. We were just weird looking. And yet, you know, as I think about that, what they saw probably was a young couple that was lost without Christ. So they weren't going to do anything to ruin that. And my first church experience, all they didn't know is they just knew that I just probably wasn't a churchgoer. And as a result of that, they invited us back to a New Year's Eve party. Have you ever been to a New Year's Eve party in church? It's called a watch night service. You familiar with that? They didn't say that. They just said New Year's Eve party. They were a little tricky there on that part. Because I've been to a few New Year's Eve party, and I thought, man, I've read these Baptists all wrong. there's something to this, all right? So I went to that, and my goodness, it was great. I didn't know what was happening. Maybe you don't know what's happening in your life sometimes when God starts moving in your life. You don't know what it is. You just know something is happening. And that's what was happening to me. I thought, what? You know, what do I want to go to this church for? Why did I go the first time? Why do I want to go to this thing? And I sat in that church service that night and watched a movie on the authenticity of the Bible that no man has ever been able to disprove the Word of God. And as I watched that, I watched the life and times, though, of one Greg Patton that wasn't very nice. one that was so self-centered and all about him ever since high school. I used to run down here at Craigbaum Field in the Lime City Relays. As a freshman, I ran and placed third with 60 schools in the mile run, the half mile run. I was the only graduating senior at Roanoke High School to have 4 years varsity track, and things just seemed to be going well. I had acting opportunities and almost got a chance to go to New York and be on the stage. All kinds of things happening, and you get kind of cocky with that. My dad, when I was a freshman and I ran in the Lime City Relays, I went home one night, and a school bus dropped us off downtown Roanoke, and I had to walk up the hill about 3/4 of a mile. And my mom worked at GE. My sisters were both married and gone, so I was going to an empty home. When I walked past the Village Inn that is still there and very well known as an eating place now in Roanoke, I saw my dad's car parked where it always was on Friday night, the Village Inn. I went on home and went to bed. Mom usually got home about 12:30, 1 o'clock. My sister awoke me at 3 a.m. in the morning screaming and said, Dad's been in a terrible car crash. I remember seeing the car in front of the Village Inn. My dad could drink a case of beer easy. If he was in a car crash, I know he was drunk. It happened up by Homestead High School, a family coming home from a school play. My dad decided he wanted to go into Fort Wayne and do some drinking with one of his buddies. He's driving down US 24 between Roanoke and Times Corner. He's passing a truck, semi, and the car in front of him has its left turn signal on. He thinks that they're passing as well and just signaling the turn, going up there. They were almost stopped when my dad rear-ended them at 65 miles an hour. Folded the gas tank up underneath that Nash automobile and went 500 feet down the road in a blazing inferno and landed in a field. And my life was to change forever as a result of that. The next morning, Oscar J. Warner succumbed to his burns and smoke inhalation and died. Man alive! I just ran the Lime City Relays last night and I was on top of the world. It just didn't get any better than that, and I'm only 14. And now what? This is just not good in Roanoke, population 800. Everybody knows everybody. I remember going back to school, and people were nice, but my, they looked at you strange. I remember my art teacher, Mrs. Henning, and Mrs. Hudson. I remember one day being a little bit late and everybody was going from school, I'm walking by and I hear them talking about all of this. And they said, he's a good kid, but he's never going to live this down. This will haunt him the rest of his life. I knew who they were talking about. And something happened there. I got really upset about that because I thought, I'm 14 years old, I've done nothing but live in Dallas and Faye's home with my two older sisters. I don't smoke. I don't drink. I've never hurt anyone. And now I'm going to have something haunt me the rest of my life? I got real, something just changed in my mind. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Do you know what that means? I preach that a lot, especially when I talk about demons. It's important what you think about, okay? It's very important what you think about. A man named Earl Nightingale came out in the late 50s, early 60s with an album that sold millions. It was on album 33 and a third at that time, called The Strangest Secret in the World. And basically he said this, he got it from the Bible. A man is what he thinks about all day long. That was it. That's Bible, people. And that's why it's important that you be thinking on the right things. That's why it's important you don't let the enemy feed your mind with the wrong things. Because he wants to do that. He wants to make sure you're going to hell, first of all, never accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you've done that, then you've got a target on your back, and he doesn't want you to serve God ever. So he'll be after you. His demons, they'll be after you all the time. Always something going on. In fact, I tell people, if you haven't had trouble for a while, something's wrong with you spiritually. I believe that with all my heart. What are you talking about? You're telling me if you're a blood-washed child of God and you want to serve God, that he's not going to be after you? Do you understand, according to Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, the Bible says you're to put on the whole armor of God? I know people that pray that prayer and mentally go through putting the armor on every morning and every night. That's fascinating. You should read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18 consistently. If there's no enemy out there after you, what do you need armor for? And our weapons are not carnal. They're not fists, they're not guns, they're not knives. They're spiritual things that Satan comes at you to derail you in your walk with God. He tries to scare you. Any of you been scared lately? Oh no, not me. Doesn't bother me. Nothing bothers me. Really? I was in a church just like this in Mentone, Indiana, a few years ago, waxing eloquent on a Wednesday night against Satan. You know what happened? The ceiling fell in. I had a pastor contact me. I was telling your preacher, just had a pastor contact me who was there that night. It's interesting because I just preached about demons down in Tennessee. I get home and this guy I haven't heard from 40 years contacts me and said, I remember that service that night. They tried to say rain caused a little crack in the roof. Brother Patton, you and I both know what happened that night, don't we? Don't be afraid. Don't you ever be afraid. You have, if you're truly saved, the Holy Spirit of God in you. Don't you be afraid. I tell people reference to bad circumstances. Now everybody's looking at the ceiling. I just noticed it is looking a little tacky here, preacher. Is there another room we could go to? No, I'm... but anyway, back to that little story. So what happened to me there through the whole school thing was I just got really confident, and I used that wrong, what a man thinks about all day long, because I started to picture myself being great in everything. I went from a CD student to an AB student. I became class president. At 18, I became the youngest television newsman ever in the state of Indiana. I think an honor which I still hold at Channel 21 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I've been a television news anchor man with an audience up to 500,000 people watching us do the nightly news. Then the radio thing, all that stuff. Here's a real secret. No matter what's going on in your life, any of you have trouble today? How many of you have had trouble here in the last week or so? Can I see your hands? Every hand should go up, okay? Yeah. One of the positions that I've changed in personally is this, you know, woe is me if something happens. Oh, trouble, why me, Lord? I've got a really good message on that, by the way. Why me, Lord? Everybody asks that question sooner or later. Whatever is going on in your life, you know what you should say? God, how can I glorify you in this thing? Whatever it is. I think about my own life. We actually have people come see us who've heard us on the radio, want to get our autograph or their picture taken with us. And you say, well, that's really strange. Because I don't see myself that. I'm just a preacher, okay? And back in the old days, that's the way it would be when we were on radio and tell, oh, yeah, everybody want to come and you're that celebrity type thing, but not anymore. That's just not it. My wife went to the hospital a few years ago. It's just to show, make you feel better. Anybody in debt here? Any of you in debt? Let me see your hands. Anybody more than $1.4 million in debt? Because you're looking at a guy who is. My wife got very ill. She left her job, lost her health insurance. I've never had any. and she was working for Sofamart Corporation in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Furniture Row, very well-known operation there. She left the job, lost the insurance, got very sick, and went to the hospital and nearly died. For 71 days, she was in the intensive care unit of Parkview North and Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis, Indiana. With those two hospitals and 22 health care providers, guess how much I owe them with no insurance? $1.4 million. I've had six kids. What does every Christian man want to happen with his kids? He wants them all to serve Jesus. I had dreams that all three of my boys would be evangelists or pastors like Daddy. The girls would all marry evangelist pastors or be missionaries. Things don't always work out the way you want. Do you understand that? Not one of my six kids goes to church. Not one. I have 13 illegitimate grandchildren through those six kids. You think maybe I ought to get down on my knees and ask God what's going on? You know what would be easy to do in a situation like that? Just throw in the towel. I shouldn't be preaching you tonight. I've got all kinds of trouble. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. No matter what's going on in your life, throw in the towel. Just quit. Quit church. Quit that. Because I'll tell you what, when you get serious, if you're going to help Pastor Jimmy here in some way, and some of you have, understand, Scott, you've been here how many years? 15, forever. Wow. And the devil doesn't like you. Do you know he's not happy you're here tonight? I was telling Pastor, I preached down in Georgia, and I was amazed. I just nailed Satan every way I could there for six straight nights at this church, and nothing happened. And I said, wow, I must really be getting good. The devil is leaving me alone. And then I got home. My wife says the ice maker quit working. I said, oh? That was after the dishwasher started smelling like it was on fire, and it isn't working too well either. And of course, the day you left, we lost the garbage disposal. And she started going down through this list. It hasn't ended yet. I replaced the refrigerator last week. I replaced the dishwasher. The toilet upstairs, we have three toilet bathrooms, started leaking just out of nowhere and flooded the kitchen. Do you think Satan left me alone? I was coming home to rejoice and relax from these meetings down in Tennessee, and guess what? He was there ahead of me. Oh, yeah. But again, let me keep emphasizing, do not let that bother you. Do not let that bother you. Why? You serve the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, my friend. You are victorious. The day that Jesus Christ died on that cross and the resurrection came, you have the victory in Jesus tonight. Don't let him do that to you. You just tell him, in the name of Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you get away from me. He'll do it. He'll do it. Some of the things we have been through at our house, why they think I'm an expert, most of it's experience. I preached in Vidalia, Georgia. Have you ever heard of Vidalia? You know what comes out of Vidalia? Sweet onions. I preached at Calvary Baptist Church in Vidalia, Georgia, and there's a girl, must have had a few hundred demons in her, that I'd been working with long distance from Fort Wayne to Savannah, Georgia. She came to that meeting on a Wednesday night. Interesting, all these things happen on a Wednesday night. And my wife is sitting back on one side of this gal, and my daughter on the other, my little Rachel. And man, I was talking really strong against the enemy. And she just reached forward and grabbed an oak pew, monstrous oak pew, and ripped it right out of the floor and lifted it up with people on it. That was an eye-opener. only to be followed later by going to the missions apartment there to try to help her and have her go to the sink area. I thought she was going to get a drink, pull out a butcher knife, turn around, grinning, and my wife and I both said it looked like her eyes were glowing. And she put that butcher knife to her chest and began to laugh in a demonic fashion, not a normal laugh at all, and started coming at Sharon and I. And we're standing there. My wife is 8 months pregnant, I think. And my thought was, because I was pretty much a novice at that time and inexperienced, I thought, she's going to kill us. She is a big woman. And if she's got demons in her, they're very powerful. She's going to stab us to death. First time I ever exercised this. I could almost feel that blade as I put my hand out, touching the palm of my hand. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you stop right where you are. Guess what happened to her? She fainted dead away. She just collapsed like she had a heart attack or had been shot. I said, wow, this works. I'm going to try this again. Yeah. To take the humor out of that, it does work, people. The devil and his demons hate the name of Jesus Christ. You can stop them in their tracks. If not, you're probably not working with the demonic. You're working with someone who has other problems. How many of you want to be happy? Let me see your hands. Is there anything wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with being happy? Every survey ever taken for the last 50-some years that they've done this, where they survey people in America, all walks of life, if you could have anything you want, what would it be? And, of course, some people say money. How many of you could use some extra money? Would that be okay? Would that help out? Okay. Health. Once you get to be an old man like me, you start thinking about health. Okay. I had to have my knee replaced a year ago this month. And that was no fun. But I couldn't walk then, and I can walk very good now. So I'm very happy I got that done. But I think about health. I had a little chest pain driving down here. I say, here comes the big one. I may not make it to the church, okay? I never used to think like that, especially when you're younger. You think you're going to live forever. Well, you are, but, you know. So it's interesting. All the things that people said that they would want if they could have it. Just let me move the magic wand here, and whatever you want, you can have. The number one thing the majority of people want every year the survey is taken is to be happy. To be happy. And yet we have, if you have your Bibles and you turn to the first Psalm, it's interesting, it's the first Psalm. Because it talks about happiness. The word is blessed, but it means happy. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Have you done that? I'm not a big TV person. Our society is such today that most people, even in church, are big TV people. It's really hard to be a good Christian and be a TV person. I said, oh man, what did preacher bring in here tonight? This is going pretty good up to this point, yeah. I mean, if you think about all the shows that are on, people, they are diametrically opposed to God's holy word. Now, we're not talking about your cooking shows, and you know what I'm talking about. I used to be a big fan of the Big Bang Theory. I thought that was great. While the lead actor is homosexual, and I believe that's against Scripture, but then you have Penny, who is the scantily clad gal, and she's always doing something, and there's always types of innuendos there. How can a Christian really watch that and say they're filled with the Holy Spirit of God or want to serve God or God, use me? Or as Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. How can that happen? I took on a new program, and it's really been fun, and that's to read through the Bible every 60 days. And to do that properly, you have to do speed reading. And, of course, you go through numbers, and you don't really comprehend a whole lot, But it's just amazing how much you do remember in a 60-day period. It has really revolutionized my life. I'm almost through now in the first 60-day period that we started in February.